We've been talking about Jesus for several weeks. I don't know of a better subject. We saw him in various roles. We asked the question, who is this Jesus? We saw him anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel, teach the gospel. We saw him as rejected one. We saw him as one that reached out for people who were pushed aside in life. He loved them. He cherished them. The last few weeks we've been talking about him as a teacher. He went away from the multitude, took his disciples up on the mountain, and he's there teaching them. Started out by teaching them what we call the Beatitudes, which was really giving a picture of what true character his disciples are to have. Then he launched into that salt and light thing. You are the salt of the world, salt of the earth. You're the light of the world, and that's what we preached on. We saw that boom and light last week. Right after the light, he says, I want you to understand something. I stand for everything that the law teaches. Whoa. You see, some people accused him of destroying the law. Soft on the law. Accused of minimizing God's law. He didn't. Only one time did he walk around with a whip. And that was in cleansing the temple of God, the house of God. But he went to the poor. He went to the needy. He went to the publican, the sinner. And he loved them and he cherished them. Went to the fishermen and called them to be his disciples. That just didn't cut it with the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin court. This guy is soft. He minimizes the law. Seems like every generation has its proponents who feel like Jesus emphasized love and de-emphasized the law. Many have felt that the thrust of Jesus is love and forgiveness, and he is all about that. And the afterthought of his teachings is law and justice. So as a result of that, many have felt less obligated to follow God's law. Matter of fact, I've run onto some who said, I can live any old way I please. The law is gone. If they had their way, they would take all of the Old Testament and tear it out. Throw it away. We don't need that anymore. We're under new grace. And some of them have gone so far as to say, love includes everything and everybody. We know that Jesus loves everyone. Amen? But he wanted them to know that irregardless of his great love for humanity and mankind, he still stood for the purity and the justice and the authority that sees that justice is lived in the life of humanity. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but you know, when Adam and Eve were created in the garden, there was only one law. Don't eat. That was it. They broke the one. They couldn't keep the one. after they were driven out of the garden, what laws did they have? There was still only one, and that was the law of conscience. God had placed, and He has placed, in every human being a law of conscience. Simple things like, I'm not supposed to hit Brother Eric. I'm just not supposed to do that. You know? I'm not supposed to treat you bad. Things of that nature. I'm supposed to be kind and generous. And you know, I found some just plain old sinners. I mean some rough old sinners. They treat you just as good as can be. I used to sell magazines in Tennessee when I was in college, and I'd walk in a moonshiner's house. He'd say, sit down and have. They never offered me the moonshine. And I'm glad they didn't. Well, I've been in their house. And if they were eating, sit down and have a bite. Never saw me before in my life. But they had that conscience of treating people. And that's the way it was in the antediluvian period. That period between the fall of Adam and Eve and the flood. Man lived by his conscience. We know what happened there. Got so bad that God said, I'm going to wipe them all out. Because they wouldn't, they collared their conscience. You ever heard of a seared conscience? You do something long enough until you say to yourself, well, this is all right. This is okay. And so that period of time was the law of conscience, but then came Moses. And God spoke to him on the mountain, gave him the law. Now, the law is more than... I think he has a slide there with the tablets on it someplace. Bring that up. There. See those tablets? That's why our idea of the law. But I'm telling you, it's a whole lot more than that. Those are what we know as the Ten Commandments. And they are law, and they in a nutshell tell us what God wants us, how God wants us to live. But there, when Jesus is talking here, well, let's hear what He says. Matthew 5:17. Don't misunderstand why I came, why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. Hear what He said? He didn't come to abolish the law of Moses nor the writings of the prophets. So He is saying essentially the whole Testament. I haven't come to do away with it. But He says, I came to accomplish their purpose. I tell you the truth. Until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. So if you ignore the least commandment and tell others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them, it will be called, then they will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. He says, I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of religion, religious law, and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Wow. Christ pulls no punches here. He comes straight to the point. You hear what He said? not that I am come to destroy the law. I am come to break up the Ten Commandments. I haven't come to do away with all of the precepts and the law that God gave to Moses. I've come to fulfill it, not to do away with it. And whatever the prophets taught, whatever the prophets preached, I've come to fulfill everything that they have prophesied by the mouth of God. It says, whosoever therefore will break any one of these is least commandments. Is that clear? You're not supposed to break them. Hello. Supposed to live by them. Supposed to keep. This is Jesus talking. Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Making it very clear. Jesus fulfills law. Now what does he mean by that? A person must know that Christ came to fulfill the law. Jesus said he was neither contradicting nor destroying the Old Testament scriptures, but nor was he standing against them. He was fulfilling them, completing them, bringing out what was implied within them. He was showing what the real meaning of the Old Testament scriptures really are. Hallelujah. All that God intended the scripture to say. So as God's Son, He is the revelation of the truth. He is to reveal the true and complete meaning of the scriptures. Amen? Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So He came to fulfill all the truth that God had for humankind. How many of you want to know the truth? If I'm talking to you, you want me to tell you the truth, you want me to tell you a lie? When I tell a lie, it's big enough that you're going to know it. You know, like the summer that it gets so hot, and the creek dried up, and the catfish walked up from the creek to get a drink out of the well. You know that didn't happen. Or that they got so hot the popcorn popped in the field and the mule saw it and thought it was snow and froze to death. You want to know the truth. When I speak to you, the words that I give you, you want to know, are they true? Can I believe Him? And that's what Jesus was all about. What God had said, He now has come to manifest as the truth. There are several ways in which Christ fulfilled the law. Number one, before Christ, the law described how God wanted man to live. God had an idea about how people ought to live, how they ought to handle themselves, how they ought to have relationships with one another. And the Old Testament and the law that God gave Moses covers it all. If you've read the book of Deuteronomy, if you've read the book of Leviticus, if you've read the laws of God that God gave to Moses, He covers every social issue and everything you want to know about and how we ought to live our lives in this world. The things we ought to eat, the things we ought not to eat, and how I ought to treat my neighbor, and how my neighbor ought to treat me, and how I ought to treat animals, and the whole kit and caboodle, He has it wrapped up there. And Jesus has come to describe how God wanted man to live. The law was the ideal. The words that told man what he should do. But Christ fulfilled and completed the law. That is, God gave man more than mere words to describe how He wants us to live. He has shown us now, through the person of Jesus Christ, what He intended in how He wanted man to live. You see, Jesus is the picture, the living example, the pattern, the demonstration of life as it is to be lived. Isn't it wonderful to have an example to follow? Wow! I remember a father saying to his little son, don't follow in my footsteps, they're leading in the wrong direction. Every morning he went by the tavern. So one day it was winter time and the snow was deep, and he, on his way to work, he was going by the tavern to get his morning drink, and he happened to turn around on the porch and look back, and there was his little boy trying to make these great big strides in that deep snow, following Dad's footsteps. And Dad saw where they led. He walked down off of the porch, picked up his little boy, carried him back home, and that was the last day he ever went by the tavern. Because he saw where that would lead. Aren't we glad that we have examples? Yes. Christ is our example. You read the Old Testament, you read the law of Moses, and you say, you shake your head and you say, how in the world can I ever keep all of these things? The truth of the matter is that we didn't have anybody to look at who could show us till Jesus came. He is the perfect picture of God's will. The ideal man, the representative man, the pattern for all men. Amen. Linda used to sew dresses, and she sewed all of our kids' clothes as they were growing up. And I noticed that she never took the material out and just started cutting. She'd go to the store and get a pattern and lay it out on the material. And then she would cut around the pattern on the material. And then she would have the right pieces to make the dress and have it all come together. And when she got it all sewed up and come down in the living room, I said, "Woo! Nice dress. Looks good." Jesus is our pattern. Don't follow the preacher. Hello. Too many people have been following preachers and they messed up. Anybody know of a preacher that's ever messed up? Huh? Come on. Yes. Absolutely. You don't follow men. You don't follow mankind. You don't follow a man on a long road that lives behind a wall in Rome. He's just a man. There's only one that is the pattern, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen to the Word of God. And for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us what? An example, that you should follow in His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself that judgeth righteously. There's our pattern. That's what we are to do in trying to live the law. Simply follow the steps of Jesus. There's a little thing came out here a few years ago. WWJD. What would Jesus do? Good pattern. Good little thing. I saw people with them on their wrists and little bracelets and things hanging around their neck. What would Jesus do? Amen. That's the key. That's what we are to do, to obey the law of God. Secondly, one of the things that Jesus did to fulfill the law, before Christ, the law was only words and rules. Can you imagine that little Jewish boy after Moses gave the law? I mean, by the age of 12, in order to have their bar mitzvah, to become a man, they had to memorize Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. All by memory. They had to memorize the law. They had to know what the law said. Can you imagine little, what would his name be? Josiah? They have little Josiah and dad sitting him down and he's starting to teach him the law of Moses. And after a while, little Josiah, you imagine a little boy, he's like 8, 9 years old, full of energy. And you got to sit here and you got to listen. You got to get this law in your heart, boy. And after a while, he said, it's only a bunch of words. And to us, if we're not careful, it's only a bunch of words. It could only inject the idea of behavior into the mind of a person. It had no spirit, had no life, no power to enable a person to do the law. You ever been riding down Interstate 70? They've got a new speed zone out there, a new sign. It says 70 miles an hour. I was riding down 70 yesterday and I was doing 70. And they were passing me like I was sitting still. You ever been going down the road obeying the law, but you see this car sitting along the road? And automatically you just slow it down. That guy sitting in there was the spirit of the law. When you saw him, that gave meaning. If I don't obey the law, I'm in a heap of trouble. Aren't you, Laura? You'll never live that down, Laura, as long as you live. I've been there too, honey. Just not as fast as you. That trooper gives spirit to the law. You ride by that sign every day and look at it and say, oh, it's 70 miles an hour. But let me tell you, when you look in the rear view mirror and he's behind you, I had a preacher. He wasn't particularly a friend of mine. I knew him. He was a good man and a good preacher. But he had a reputation of breaking the speed limit. He was down south someplace going down the interstate. And he had his CB radio on. And he was talking to this fella. Coming, have you seen any bears? Have you seen any bears? Any picture takers? You remember that? And he was talking to this fellow for some time. He was doing like 80, 85, 90 miles an hour down the road, talking to this guy over the CB and saying to him, said, have you seen any picture takers coming your way back there? And the guy said, no, I haven't for a while. But he said, I took your picture, pull over, I want to deliver it to you. He gave spirit to the law. Jesus came to give spirit. Christ fulfilled and completed the law. He was the spirit and life. So he was able to put spirit and life to the words and the rules of the law. It's amazing to see somebody who can actually perform, do what is commanded. He was able to live the life described by the words and the rules. As such, he was able to inject both the idea and the power to behave into a person's mind and life. When I found Jesus, I found somebody who gave me the ability to say no to sin and yes to Him.
Hallelujah.
Brother Eric, when you knelt there at that altar 25 years ago, a drug addict and an alcoholic and depressed and suicidal and all that goes with it, when you surrendered to Christ, what happened? He took it all away, didn't He? Instantaneously. Drugs was gone. The alcohol was gone. Everything changed into a... What did that? Christ! He becomes the power! When we are in Him, He gives us, because He was able to perfectly keep all of the law. It is His Spirit and life that gives the believer power to obey. I've heard people say, I'm not going to church, I can't live up to all of that. No, you can't. No one in their own abilities is able to live the kind of life they should live for Christ. We have to be in Him, in His righteousness. Thirdly, before Christ, the law demanded perfect righteousness. It demanded a perfect life. How many of us are perfect? How many of us are imperfect? What, John, you've been serving the Lord a lot of years now. You're still imperfect? Oh my goodness. If anybody's perfect, it has to be Pat. Huh? Oh. Yeah. No glory. But you were serving the Lord a long time before John. 10 years before John. And not perfect yet. I've been preaching for 55 years. Almost 56. Certainly. Sorry to burst anyone's bubble. I wouldn't have changed that bus to burst. I'd have heard it when I got home. See? That just showed my imperfection. None of us are perfect. But this is the demand of the law. But man failed. There's no way even Adam and Eve could not keep one. Man just could not obey the law perfectly. Fell short of perfection in righteousness. But Christ fulfilled and completed the law. He kept the law in every detail. Man, that makes me proud of Jesus. He's my Lord. He's my Redeemer. And He kept every word of the law to absolute perfection. He secured the perfect righteous demanded by the law. He fulfilled all the requirements, all the types, and all the ceremonies of the law absolutely perfectly. If you read the Old Testament, they had a lot of ceremonies they had to keep. You know, the Passover and Feast of Weeks and all kinds of ceremonies. They had to keep that and do everything. That was a part of the commands of God that you have to do this. Well, Jesus became all of those things. Not only did He fulfill, thou shalt not kill, or thou shalt not commit adultery, or thou shalt not steal. He fulfilled all of those, but He fulfilled being the Passover. He fulfilled the Feast of Weeks. He fulfilled every single ceremonial law as well as the written word. And that's the reason why you and I don't have to keep those ceremonial laws anymore. Oh, it's nice to know what they stand for, to understand Christ, to understand how Christ fulfilled them, but we don't have to keep them, and there's no one that can order us to keep them anymore as long as we are in Christ, in Jesus. No man. Listen to the words of Paul in Romans 3. No man can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. But now God has shown us a way to be made right with Him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God, how? By placing our faith in Jesus Christ. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. When we get in Jesus, He covers us with His own righteousness, His own perfection, and my imperfections are swallowed up of His righteousness. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. I'm on the last point. It's only 4 minutes till. And it's Communion Sunday. Thank you, Edna. Before Christ, the law demanded punishment for disobedience. If a man broke the law, he was to be punished. You know how it was. If there were two people caught in adultery, they took them out immediately and stoned them to death. That was it. You remember the time that Jesus was teaching and the religious leaders drug that woman who had been caught in the very act of adultery before Jesus, and they challenged Him to stone her. You remember what Jesus said, "Let him that is without sin cast the first stone." Punishment was immediate. There was only one way to escape. If you happened to kill a man for a specific reason, you could run to a city of refuge. And as long as you stayed in the city, the brother, the sisters, the dad, or whoever was after you couldn't touch you. But if you left the city of refuge, they had the right to bring judgment, punishment upon you. So Christ fulfilled the punishment of the law. I get this picture. Christ fulfilled and completed this part of the law in its entirety. In fact, He went to the furthest point possible in fulfilling the law. He paid the maximum price and showed the ultimate love. He bore the punishment of the law for every man's disobedience. You remember when Adam and Eve sinned? They were naked in the garden. They were innocent. They didn't feel bad about it. But after they disobeyed God, they tried to cover themselves up. And when God came walking in the cool of the garden, Adam said to God, "We were naked. There was shame because of their sin, because of their disobedience." Then God showed Adam and Eve, the very first two human beings, what it took to cover sin and its shame. What did God give to them? Skins. That meant blood had to be shed. Sacrifice had to be made to cover the shame of the sins of Adam and Eve. The very first offering. And God set the pattern. Then you remember later on, Cain and Abel. What did Abel offer to God that was acceptable to him? Sacrifice of sheep. Sacrifice of the blood of an animal that God accepted. Where did he get that idea? Adam and Eve passed it right on down. And from that time on, clear on down, when Noah got out of the ark, he sacrificed. God said, you take certain sheep and certain animals with you just for the sacrifice when the flood is over. And that's what he did. And the pattern was set. And the only way for the people who broke the commands of God given to Moses was to offer sacrifices. We saw it in the Passover when God was about to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt. What happened? They had to kill a lamb and put the blood on the doorposts and the lintel of the house. And when the death angel came through, when the punisher came through, when the judgment came through, those who had the blood of the lamb applied were saved and spared. The sacrifice. Jesus became the sacrifice. He gave his all. What? Why? To cover my sins. To cover the things that I've done that were displeasing. The times that I broke his law. The times that I disobeyed his rules and his words. Oh, he covered it all and said, by my sacrifice, I offer myself to the Father in heaven. And you remember the story when he did, the veil of the temple was rent in two, and everybody had access directly to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ offered for our sins once and for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the Spirit. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So, when Jesus there on the, as a teacher, after he talked about the salt and the light, after he talked about the Beatitudes, the characteristics of the Christian disciple, and how you were to look and act and do, he left us this word, I've come not to destroy the law. The law is a good thing. The law is God's word. It doesn't change. There is nothing going to change about it until it reaches and does and performs all that it was sent to do. The law is of God, and God never puts out any junk. Amen. He puts out what is truth and how we are to live our lives and how we are to please Him. And Jesus said, I've come not to destroy it, but to fulfill it, that you, hallelujah, that I, that Eric Peel, that John Early, that Irene Baker, that Mike Toomey, that you put your name in there, that all of us could be covered by Christ's righteousness and able to enter into the presence of God.
Hallelujah.
Now you can try to live as good as you want to live. I've talked to some people and they say, well, I've got to stop doing this or that before I come to church. Don't work that way. I've got to stop this or that before I go to the altar. No, it doesn't work that way. You can stop whatever. And you can stop it for the rest of your life and that doesn't get you right with Him. You have to get in Jesus. You have to get in Christ. And once you're covered by His righteousness, who fulfilled all of the law, and once you allow His sacrifice to wash away your sins, then you become righteous. In fulfilling the law, Jesus brought salvation to all mankind. If you're sitting here this morning and if I ask you this question, if you were to die today and come and stand before God, what would you say to Him that makes you worthy to enter into heaven? Only by Christ. Well, Lord, I went to church for 50 years. I was a member of the Emmanuel Chapelites. I shook Preacher Lay's hand. Woo! Doesn't cut it. Never get you in. There's only one way in. That's by accepting Jesus Christ, who fulfilled all of the law of God and invited you to come under His covering. Would you bow your heads this morning? Jesus, You know us. You know us inside and out. You know all of our thoughts. You know all of the intents of our hearts. And You know that every one of us sitting here this morning is imperfect. None of us, Lord, are worthy to come up to You and say, "Let me in," because of my works. We are all imperfect. But, oh Lord, just maybe there's somebody sitting here this morning who has not yet said to You, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I believe in You, and I believe You died on the cross for me, and I believe, Jesus, that You were buried, and I believe that You rose from the dead on the third day. And today You sit at the right hand of the Father listening for my prayer. Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of all my sins. Wash me. Wash me clean of all my sins. Cleanse my record in heaven and purify me, Lord. I trust only in You as my Redeemer. Thank You for forgiving me. Thank You for washing me of all my sins. Beginning today, right now, I am now covered by Your righteousness. And my imperfections are no longer seen because they're hidden in Your righteousness. I love You, Jesus. You give me the strength, and I will serve You the rest of my days." Anybody pray that prayer right there with me? Did anyone pray that in your heart?